Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here Tuesday, August the 24th, 2021. 15 minutes past the hour here at WWGH Radio Time. And again, we are in those hazy, lazy dog days of summer. Very, very warm, very, very humid. And from what I'm being told by the meteorologist that we all listen to, this will be the hottest week of the year for us here in Central Ohio, and possibly even one of the hottest days coming up this week that we have had all year and may have all year. So here we are with that Ohio weather. 15 and a half minutes past the hour here. All of us at WWGH Radio do want to remind you that later on today we have the Adam the Computer Guy show from 2:10 until 3 p.m. and then Voice of a People with Linda Sims from 4:10 until 5 p.m. today on this station. So you don't want to miss either one of those programs for love or money. Now you can also listen to this station on the internet, the webpage, WWGH107.1.com, or by downloading the free TuneIn app from any app store and searching WWGH. You can listen to us on any mobile device. Now, it is our regular Tuesday of the month to talk with the mayor of the city of Marion, Scott Scherzer. We always thank him for coming on. And this morning should be a very interesting conversation. So we will greet to these microphones the mayor of the city of Marion, Scott Scherzer. Mayor, how you doing?
Doing just fine. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. It's obviously nice and sunny, and I think it's going to be very warm today, Scott.
Well, you know, it seems like we've hit that trend here the last few days.
Yes, we have.
Yep. Mayor Scherzer, I want to give the audience just a little background here on what we're going to start here by talking about. Last Friday, I received a tip that some things were going on here in Marion, and we did not want to run it without any confirmation, and we have not. And we spoke via email the way of today over the weekend that we would talk about it here on Tuesday. So here we go. What I heard from a source was that the state auditors are in Marion. Now, what can you tell us about this?
Well, I think it's important for you and your listeners and everybody to understand that the state auditors audit the city of Marion every year. So this is not an unusual occurrence to have them here to audit and check the books of the city of Marion. I do believe that this falls within the Ohio Revised Code that political subdivisions, i.e. townships, counties, cities, like Marion, are audited on an annual basis. So that aspect is nothing unusual. However, what makes this audit so much more unusual is what the actions of city council from earlier this summer. If you remember, there was the special select committee to look into some of the things that the Marion City Auditor was doing. And then finance also had some action come out of it in regards to what the city auditor was doing, or maybe I should say what the auditor was not doing. So in addition to our annual state audit, I received a letter from State Auditor Faber indicating that the actions taken by those two committees will be looked into throughout the annual audit that we're doing. So they notified me on or about the beginning of August, along with members of City Council, and they have asked that myself and members of City Council sit with the audit team and talk about the issues and concerns that Council had that came out of those two committees.
Now, at this point, do we know exactly, because there have been several issues, is it all of the issues together with the auditor or certain ones in particular?
Well, again, I would say most of the issues coming out of the Select Committee and the Finance Committee had to do with the issue of not paying the federal withholding for the city employees, paying the state twice, getting the refund. As you may know, we talked about this a couple of shows ago. The IRS has sent out notification to the city of Marion that they were in violation of not paying those withholdings, and there are penalties and fines that go along with that. From, I want to say, third quarter last year, but we believe that the third quarter, the fourth quarter from last year, and maybe some of first quarter this year, the federal withholdings were not paid. So I don't know, but I don't think that the IRS is done with the city of Marion yet because of them not paying those in a prompt and timely manner.
Do we know at this point what that amount, the fine amount from the IRS is likely to look like, or what has been levied so far at this point?
Well, there was a letter sent to the city auditor to indicate what that one single quarter cost would be. And I think it's important to point out that that quarter is under appeals right now. But again, we're still waiting on, at least one and a half more quarters. So it could be, and I want to stress could be, as high as $120,000 to $150,000 in penalties and fines, fees, however the IRS determines that.
Now, as far as the state auditor alerting that they would like to talk about these issues that are going on, has that conversation happened with yourself and city council?
No, it has not. And, you know, I guess I'm just a little bit perplexed, and I'm happy to participate as always, but I'm not sure why they're talking to me. The problem was within the auditor's office. They should be talking to the auditor and city council. City council took action. They are the legislative branch of municipal government. And although I do agree with the action that they have taken, it was a legislative action. And of course, the city auditor is an elected official, not beholden to the mayor. I'm not his boss, as I have said many times on this program and will continue to say, but the voters are essentially his boss. And so I hope the auditors talk to not only the members of the committee of finance and the special select committee to look into the auditor's misdeeds, but the auditor himself to determine really whether he has the capacity and capabilities of doing the job.
Have they given any indication why they want to speak with you?
Well, I mean, other than what it says in the letter indicating that the issues that came out of the council committee, they're just indicating that they will, it references the two certified resolutions passed by council, one out of finance, one out of the special select committee. And says they have reviewed the resolutions and other supporting documents that have been attained by previously by auditors, staff, and currently working with the city's engagements. So they're just basically saying they're accumulating the documentation to look into the issue. And again, I'd be happy to sit with them, but I didn't not pay the IRS and double pay the state. That's nobody in my sphere of responsibility as the mayor, as the chief executive of the city of Marion. The bookkeeper is the city auditor, and that's where they should be looking. I will share with you that the audit team has asked for a sit-down meeting with myself and some of my staff to discuss this in the 2020 audit that is supposed to be nearly completed by now, but I found out a week ago that the state auditor's team hasn't been able to start the audit at this time. The city, through the city auditor and with my signature on the letter, has asked for two extensions, and we are likely to ask for a third extension, which is highly unusual.
Do we know why that has happened?
Well, initially I was told it's because the 2020 books are not reconciled. Now, keep in mind, we are approaching the ninth month of the next calendar year, and the books are not reconciled. Last night in City Council, this discussion did come up, and Deputy Auditor Martin Watts indicated that they're reconciled, but not to the specifications of the state audit team. So I intend to find out more information in our 2:30 meeting today with the state audit team of why the books are not reconciled to the specifications of the state auditor's team.
When did you become aware of this issue with all these extensions?
Well, the first extension really was not a red flag at all, because oftentimes council has to give the authorization to have a private accounting firm do a portion of the city's audit in conjunction with the state auditor's team that comes in here. With all the issues taking place in the city auditor's office, council denied that request by the city auditor. So that was the first extension. And then about 2 weeks ago, the city auditor called me and requested another extension. I did talk to the lead state auditor that is auditing the city of Marion, and we had a conversation about why we should be even asking for a second extension. And she explained to me from their perspective of why it was necessary for a second extension. But again, I fear that we may be heading after today's meeting for yet a third unprecedented extension.
Is there a big issue, according to the state auditor, as to why these extensions need to keep happening?
Well, I will hopefully have more light shed on that this afternoon. My instincts tell me it's because the 2020 books are not reconciled to their specifications.
Now, when somebody gets up in a meeting and says that, as Mr. Watts did last night, do we know if he's being honest or not at this point?
Look, I have no reason to believe that Mr. Watts is being deceptive at all. I even said last night, after a rather lengthy discussion with members of council, Mr. Watts and myself, on this topic, that Mr. Watts has been great to work with. He's very collaborative. He's very open and forthright. And I wish the city auditor himself were as easy to work with as his deputy auditor.
For people who are not immersed in city government, yes, the audit from the state, for the state to come down, that happens. That happens every year.
Yes.
But for city council to be contacted, for the mayor to be contacted about issues with the city auditor, how unusual is this, and where would this rank on a big deal scale in city government?
Well, I'll tell you what I told city council last night. I've spent almost 14 years as mayor, and for 13 of those 14 years, I never had any concern about the city audit under the previous auditor. I only began to become concerned last year when the current city auditor could not reconcile the books for 2019. And the state audit team at that time came to me, as they are today, and they said, can you help reconcile the books? And of course I said yes, because I had staff that worked previously for the former city auditor who were very well-versed in the city's financial records and working with the state auditor's team. So actually it was the city's service director, the former deputy auditor, who reconciled the 2019 books for the 2020 audit that was done last year. Here we are again a year later, and the current auditor still is unable to reconcile the books to the specifications of the state audit team. That's a concern. I'm here to help, but I'm not here to do his job.
How is this affecting the citizens of Marion that things like that are happening?
Well, let's be honest, Scott. Most of our residents will not see any impact. And thank God the financial standing of the city is very strong. The unemployment is low. Income tax is on par. So we're doing very well. It's interesting you asked the question, because I was talking to a council member last night after city council with a very similar question. And I said, imagine if it was 2008, 9, 10, and 11 when we were in the grips of the greatest recession since the Great Depression, and revenue wasn't coming in on pace. It was coming in below what the projections were. Then it would be even more devastating. But because that the revenues are coming in on pace and we have all this federal money coming at us, the residents won't notice any different. However, there are these penalties and fines, and that is unnecessarily spending taxpayers' dollars to cover the misfeasance, malfeasance, and derelictions of duties of our current city auditor.
Just a side note to all this, I was talking to the sanitation department recently, and some things have changed there, and I believe it used to be in November that you had to have your property, or if you were taking care of the sanitation bill, the property, the sanitation bill had to be paid before the end of November, or it would be tacked on to the taxes. And now that has changed, and I believe that is now in August. And when I asked about that, they said that was a recommendation from the state auditors, and that the full amount had to be paid. I guess when the last amount was, you just had to have it, I believe, under $100. So some changes are being made that maybe the citizens of Marion should pay attention to.
Well, if you pay your bill on a regular basis, you don't have to be concerned about such a thing. That's interesting that's the answer you got, because I'm under the impression that we work with the county auditor when it comes to assessing delinquent sewer bills, and that it has always been, the 1st of September. Now, I do believe that you, as the property owner, still have an opportunity to get caught up in September and October before that magical November date. But I want to say that's more of a county auditor thing, because they're the ones that deal with the property taxes and a special assessment for not paying your city's sewer bill.
Aside from the meetings that the state auditor would like to have with people in regard to the city auditor, is anything else unusual about this particular audit at this point?
Well, yes. I think the fact that it has started later than usual. But there are crazy circumstances in our world today. So I don't know that I could, place blame or responsibility on anybody. But the audit is starting later. The actions that City Council took are unusual. The fact that the books are not reconciled to the specifications of the state audit team is highly unusual. And I'm just very concerned about the ability of the current city auditor to now perform his duties.
Has has this grown since last we spoke and the other issues that have been brought up?
Well, certainly it has, because I've received the letter from State Auditor Faber in regards to council's actions. Certainly I was not aware that the current city auditor was unable to balance the books to the specifications necessary. And look, I'm going to be quite honest with you. I don't know what those specifications are. I hope to find out this afternoon, because this is not a responsibility and duty of the mayor. This is a duty and responsibility of the elected city auditor to do and to know these things.
Mayor, you know, I know that we've talked about this before, and the auditor is an elected position. You are not his boss, and this year he will not be up for re-election. But at some point, when this stuff keeps happening, and you learn of stuff, as you have just learned of, and have to have a meeting about this today, and the state auditor wants to meet with you, and all these things keep piling up, at some point do you say, this can't continue? We can't go down this road another year.
Well, look, I would say I'm fast approaching that, but I think more importantly, what does council say? I mean, we still have some members of council that find it hard to grasp the magnitude of confusion and misfeasance and malfeasance within the auditor's office. You know, we saw this very same issue at the federal level. You get council members that dig into their party lines, and they don't budge. You know, these are self-inflicted wounds by the city auditor. These are politically inflicted wounds by the opposition party. They're self-inflicted.
Now, on this note, people might be wondering why the city auditor did not speak at city council last night. My understanding is that he is not currently in the office.
Well, that is true.
And my understanding, do we know why he's not in the office, I guess, is what I'll ask.
Well, look, to be fair, and I try to be when applicable, I have not received any notification from the city auditor of why he is not in the office, but the deputy auditor has informed me that he is down with COVID at this point in time.
Now, did this happen in parallel with the state audit?
Let's just say it couldn't have happened at a worse time, and that's why we encourage vaccinations.
When it comes to this, and just a question here, I mean, you had COVID at one point. Most people know that when you go and get tested, a lot of people have been tested now, that they give you a paper telling you not to go around people, and you give that to your employer, or at least whoever you need to give it to, HR. Has any of that happened to your knowledge?
Not to my knowledge. I know yesterday morning we did a rapid test on all 7 employees within the auditor's office. I do know that they are all masking up right now due to the alleged positive test of the city auditor. Mr. Watts, once again, has been working very well with my administration to make sure that they have the resources they need. The additional cleaning has been taking place within their offices. I believe that started last Friday. So we've been working very closely to do what we can do to ensure the safety of the auditor's employees. I asked Mr. Watts to reconfirm or to re-ask, I guess, any of the city auditor's employees that have not been vaccinated, if they wish to do so, that we would help them with Marion Public Health or another entity that has vaccines to get vaccinated. So we're doing, my administration is doing everything we can to work with Deputy Auditor Watts under these highly unusual circumstances.
Were there any other positive tests in the auditor's office?
Yes.
There were. But at this, when you say alleged test, is it just because you haven't seen anything from the auditor that he has COVID?
Yeah, I haven't seen a positive. No, I've not seen any documentation that indicates that he is positive. I had no reason to believe he's not, for goodness sakes. I mean, I'll tell you what, when I quarantined, I think late September, early October, because my safety director tested positive, that was rather early in the pandemic, and we were all still learning a great deal about living in a pandemic world. I called members of city council, and I called all the elected officials and let them know that I was quarantining because that was the CDC recommendations. And even when I came down with COVID myself, I called the elected officials and let them know that I was COVID positive and would be out of the office.
And at this point, from the auditor, none of that has happened?
Not to my knowledge. Look, I cannot speak to whether he has called, the city treasurer, who the city treasurer, Tom Panett, works very closely with the auditor's office, because those are his duties and responsibilities as an elected city treasurer. I don't know if he's called the law director, Mark Russell. I don't know if he's called any member of city council. He has not called myself. I did have a conversation with Deputy Auditor Watts yesterday about whether, what is the auditor going to say? Most people may be hearing this from me for the very first time, and that's why I have to use terminology like allegedly he has COVID. Again, I have no reason to believe he doesn't. I have no reason to believe the auditor, Deputy Auditor Watts, would be disingenuous to me in telling me that. But it's not really my place to notify the public that an elected official is COVID positive and is quarantining.
You know, Mayor, to move away from this, because there are other things to talk about, but when you ball this all up into a ball, and we seem to have this conversation quite a bit lately, when you put this all into a ball, state auditors in town, questions coming up, the auditor getting COVID, at what point do we stop having the conversation and action start being taken, in your opinion? What's that line?
Well, I don't know what. I think the line's already been crossed. I think it's when a majority of city council, there's really only a couple members of city council that continue to question the missteps of the city auditor. Of course, the members of the special select committee were three members that questioned it. Councilman Daniels, as the chairman of the finance, has questioned it. And Councilman Ratliff of the second ward has questioned it probably more aggressively than anybody and anybody combined on city council. So you still have about four council members that have really said and done nothing, that like everything's okay, quit picking on the city auditor. This is self-inflicted. I can't stress that enough.
We've had Ayers Ratliff on the program. We've had other people on the program who do feel that he should resign. And we understand that there is an ongoing investigation. We understand there was a select committee. But in a lot of cases, the disruption that something is causing, even before we know what the verdict is, leads to a call for resignation, much like in the Judge Warner case. When the resignation call was made, nobody had, it's a different set of circumstances, but there was no verdict yet at that point. At this point, knowing what's knowing, do you think he should resign? Should he still be in this position?
Well, I'm going to withhold judgment until my 2:30 meeting today with the state auditor's team. I need to find out more from them about the reconciliation of the 2020 books. I think that's going to be key for me, because if he is unable to do it for the second year in a row, how can I have faith that he'll be able to do it in the third or fourth year of his term in office? And what else is he not doing that I don't know about? What other jeopardies might he be placing the city in financially that I'm not aware of? I don't have access to his books. He gave a report to me a few weeks ago, and I'm going to paraphrase because I don't have it in front of me now, but it indicated by June 30th, the city had spent $77 million. Our entire budget isn't $77 million. And I asked him about it, and his answer was, "What report do you want me to run? I want you to run an accurate report, not something that says that we spent more than we took in, than is more than our budget."
Before we move on to the next subject, I'm going to ask you this. If you find out at the 2:30 meeting today what your fear is in the second year of this, at that point, would you feel that he should go if you do find that out?
Well, I think that's just being a little bit too much presumptuous. I appreciate you asking me that question, Scott. But let me just reserve my judgment until that meeting and see what the outcome of that meeting is. I know Deputy Auditor Watts is going to be there. I know I have asked a member of the Finance Committee to be present at that meeting today because I think it's very important because City Council Finance Committee, if there is any oversight over a city auditor, it is through the Finance Committee of the legislative branch of government. So I want to make sure at least one member of the Finance Committee is well informed. And that's really because we can't have all three of them there because that would constitute a public meeting, the Finance Committee. So at least having one there will be helpful. And I know that former Deputy Auditor, current Service Director, Kathy Chaffin, will be there because, you know, she had 12 years of service as the Deputy Auditor and working with this audit team and understands the specifications that the state audit team is looking for in the reconciliation of the city's books. So I think there's a lot to be heard from the state auditors at this point.
I do want to talk about the ARPA money here in a second, but the final question on this, when Kai Mead, First Ward City Councilman, was on, I think, 2 weeks ago, and he said that he did not feel, if he had to describe the auditor at this point, city auditor, it would not be competent. Do you think the city auditor of Marion is competent in his job?
Well, I don't know if I can go that far at this point in time. I would simply go as far as to say I don't think he has any interest in learning how to do his job.
And on that note, we're going to move on to the ARPA money. Tell us about the ARPA money, Mayor.
Well, council finally appropriated the money. So it is in the proper funds, and it is ready for action by my administration. A lot of the reimbursements from ARPA will happen later this year. Some of them will happen in next year's budget, and we'll start to see things in the 2022 budget in regards to the ARPA funding. But I think we're still kind of feeling our way through the dark a little bit, because we want to make sure that we are in compliance with the United States Department of Treasury and actually how this money can be spent. And there are parameters on it. It's not just as if we can go out and do whatever we want with it. So we need to make sure that we're in compliance. I have a lot of confidence in the service director because she was the deputy auditor at the time that the ARA money came through. And there are a lot of similarities with the ARA money and the ARPA money.
I believe last time we spoke, you had said that a police officer was something you thought some of this money could be used for. And at that time, there was no movement on that, and you felt there was some possible political nature in that. Did that ever end up going anywhere?
Well, we're still working on some definitive verifications. Again, I do believe that it is a qualifiable expense. I have authorized the Chief of Police, Jay McDonald, to hire that additional net new. You may have seen on Facebook on Sunday, we did a very rare Sunday afternoon swearing in of four police officers. Two of those officers are replacing individuals that have already retired from the force, and two of them are going to replace officers that will retire by the end of this year. So we're trying to stay ahead of the game so there's no gap in between those, filling those retirements. It is not an easy process to hire a police officer in the state of Ohio. So we make sure that we, you know, dot the I's and cross the T's and do everything we have to do. But in that class that I swore in on Sunday, we were hoping it would be five, and that fifth would be that net new additional police officer in the Marion Police Department. But that did not happen because of the hiring process is so cumbersome. And really not by anybody's fault. That's just the way it's designed to ensure that we get good quality individuals working in law enforcement in the state of Ohio.
Do want to talk about COVID in Marion at this point, because it's becoming the lead story nationally, statewide, and locally here. Right now, as I'm looking at the Marion Public Health webpage, we have 251 cases in the last 2 weeks. Now, that runs about 2 weeks behind, so it's constantly growing. The vaccination rate in Marion is up a little bit, 41.75% at this point, but still really not a good number and behind the state average. All that being said, the Popcorn Festival is coming up in less than a month now. We know that this Delta variant is highly contagious. We know what the vaccination rate is in Marion. We know what the cases are on a two-week basis. Is it a good idea to have the Popcorn Festival?
Of course not.
Based on that, have you been given any indication that they're thinking about not doing it or doing it?
Nope, they're moving forward with the Popcorn Festival. The last time we met, I believe, was last Tuesday. They are well aware of the rising cases of COVID in our community, and they're pushing forward with it. I think individuals have to take personal responsibility to determine whether you want to put yourself in that environment, especially if you are unvaccinated, which obviously brings a higher risk to you in such close quarters like a popcorn festival. But I have no reason to believe at this point in time that there will be a cancellation of the Marion Popcorn Festival unless there is some statewide action where the governor would prohibit something like that.
A lot of people are curious in a situation like that. Obviously, they have to have permits to do an event like this on the city streets. Would there be a point where permits could be revoked because of a health situation?
Well, I would consult Marion Public Health, look for guidance from Ohio Public Health, and also look at the CDC. I have said from the very beginning of this pandemic that I am going to listen to and put faith and trust into the public health officials. They know it better than anybody. They think with their heads and not their hearts, and that is what needs to be done under these circumstances. You know, I had a conversation with an elected official yesterday who believes that the government can't mandate them to do certain things. And you know, he's right to an extent. I agree with him. It's his choice not to get the vaccination. It's my choice to get the vaccination. I had COVID, so I know what it's like. I don't want to go through it again, and I wouldn't wish it upon anybody in my family, friends, or anybody in my circle. I wouldn't wish it on anybody. But that's his choice. But you know what? We're seeing now that every legal advice that is out there would indicate that employers have the right to mandate vaccinations. It's pretty undisputable. Now, of course, there's always somebody out there that'll find something obscure on the internet that says that that can't be done, And I understand that policy and procedure, but, you know, I do believe that it can be mandated by employers. And since the Pfizer vaccine was officially, I don't know, certified yesterday, I think you're going to see more of corporate America and more private businesses mandate it for their employees.
Do you believe city employees in Marion should be mandated to get the vaccine?
I'm not quite there yet. No, I look, I encourage all city employees to get it. If they are not vaccinated, they should be wearing a mask in City Hall. Anybody that comes into City Hall that's not vaccinated should be wearing a mask. But we're not checking vaccination cards at the door, you know. I think that there is a lot of personal self-responsibility for the greater good of your community, your state, and your country that needs to be taken into consideration. And I also understand that on the flip side of this coin, there are folks that believe just the complete opposite of me, and that it is their patriotic duty to reject such things. I appreciate your opinion. I just politely disagree with it.
In Ohio,
where do your rights begin, and where do your rights end and mine begin?
Well, in Ohio, we're in a very unique place right now, because last week our governor, Mike DeWine, held a press conference, and he said schools are starting back, the numbers are extremely high, his health officials are telling him this is not going to be good, but he no longer has the power to mandate masks in schools because the legislature took that away from him, the Republican legislature, by the way, but he did, and I'm paraphrasing, he did urge people in that press conference, school districts, to take a look at this. Only do the mask mandate for a few weeks if the numbers get better. Even if there isn't a mandate, send your child to school with a mask. This is what the governor said. He doesn't have the power to do what he did last year because of the legislature. And on that note, I did have an email conversation, just a short one, just to get a question answered with Mark Russell, law director, about if city council could ever do anything in regard to this, and the answer was city council, being a legislative body like the state legislature, can pass any law that does not violate the United States of Ohio Constitution. Whether it would be upheld as a valid law, he's not sure at this time. Do you think at some point local government should do something here?
Well, that's a good question. I think that we often look and hope for a good direction to come from the branches of government above us. And I agree with what you said. The governor indicated that the power and authority to do such things may have been taken away from him by a Republican-controlled state legislature. I would also point out that that's why we need more balance in our state government, political balance I'm speaking of, so we don't go too far one way or the other. Regardless of your political beliefs, when you go too far to the right or too far to the left, it's never a good thing. There is a happy medium, and we do not have that in the state government at this point in time. So I've not talked to any council members or heard any rumblings of any such pieces of legislation that they are considering. I do know right now that if the Marion Area Transit Department, if you ride the MAP bus, you are required by federal law to wear a mask. And that's because about 80 to 90% of the funding comes from the federal government. Excuse me. And that's why. And I intend to comply with that when we have to. Same thing with our airport. Most of the money, a lot of the money to support the Marion Municipal Airport is federal aviation money. And if it's a requirement to wear a mask in an airport like Port Columbus, then you should be required to do it at the Marion Municipal Airport. But walking into City Hall, there are signs up that indicate that if you are not vaccinated, you should wear a mask. But again, we're not checking vaccination cards at the door.
All that being said, school did recently go back into session, and Marion City Schools took a lot of heat recently at a school board meeting. There was some protest, some argument there in regard to their mask mandate. We have 5 school districts in Marion. I believe the other 4 still do not have mask mandates, much to what Governor DeWine was speaking about. Do you think at this point, with the numbers the way they are in Marion County, that schools should have mask mandates as a former educator?
Look, I applaud the Marion City School Board for sticking to what they originally said they were going to do. I think it should be up to the individual school boards and superintendents and parents to make that determination for their school district. That's what local control is about. That's why you elect a local school board that hires a superintendent. Same thing with a city council, a township trustee, a village mayor, or council. You know, that's what local control is about. And right now, I don't think that the demographics in Marion support a wide use of mask mandates or vaccination mandates here in Marion.
Final question this morning, Mayor, and I appreciate the time. When we do look at things like the Popcorn Festival that are coming up and we look at the rising numbers, and at this point we have no reason to believe that they're going to go down anytime soon, what do you call the behavior of society right now? When you look at society in general, in the city, county that you live in, the things that are going forward, we just had a festival, I believe, this past weekend in Marion. What do you make of this whole thing as the numbers continue to rise? And vaccination numbers don't.
I think as a former history teacher, I look forward to reading the history of this time in about 10 years. And that history may be written in less than 10 years, but I'm going to pick 10 years. I look forward to reading what history writes about our society during the time of the pandemic. And my concern is it will not look favorably upon us, but there will be some highlights and there will be some lowlights. So it'll be interesting to review that history when the time comes.
Mayor Scott Schertz, are always a pleasure. Thank you so much, Mayor.
Thank you much. Bye-bye, everybody.
The mayor of the city of Marion, Scott Schertzer, there you are for this day. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Here, you'd probably ask me to take off my shirt or something.
And legendary pro wrestler Captain Lou Albano.
Well, God bless